Canada Curious? This is the Yes We Canada podcast, the progressive's guide to getting the fuck out. This episode, Hang Mike Pence.
Wait, what?
Hey, I'm Matt Zimbel in Montreal. Progressives, we are being treated to an unparalleled media event. The real-time creation of a brand new American hero. A genuine American hero, the savior of our democracy, and in the timeless traditions of our beloved union, he's an elderly white man. Stay with me here, progressives, because I'm going to tell you his name, but only if you promise not to shut the podcast off. We're good? Okay, cue the music. Please welcome a man who set aside his deep personal friendships and loyalties. A man who thought not of himself or of his job. A man who thought only of his country. A man who, at 3:40 in the morning, read some names off a piece of paper out loud in our nation's capital because that was his job. Ladies and gentlemen, that man is Mike Pence. Okay, cut the crap. Progressives, I read books about Mike Pence, so you don't have to. You're welcome. You see, Mike was your vice president for 4 years. You may not have noticed him. He was usually sitting ever so slightly behind President Donald J. Trump's right shoulder, staring beatifically off into the middle distance, his brow slightly furrowed, his expression one of deep admiration as his leader spoke and told yet another lie to the American people.
I've already started building the wall.
No country had anywhere near us.
We had the best economy. Hundreds.
We had the greatest economy in the world.
We're losing a lot of money.
300, 400, 500.
It's the biggest reduction in taxes in the history of this country.
Michael Richard Pence, former Vice President of the United States, former Governor of Indiana, former Congressman from Indiana's 2nd District, Christian, conservative, Republican, newly minted American hero. Progressives, do not think of moving on. This is all going to make sense in a minute. Now, we're deep into season 2 of Yes We Canada, and you know we don't often discuss religion on the podcast, mostly because our host knows diddly squat about religion. But religion is a big part of the Mike Pence story. You see, Pence is an evangelical Christian. He loves the Book of Jeremiah, particularly Jeremiah 29:11, when God said to Jeremiah,
"For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. But first, I'm going to humiliate you a few times just for fun."
President Trump and I stand with you. Look, we don't have to choose between supporting law enforcement, improving public
holy
safety,
crap,
and
it's
supporting
right
our
here.
African-American neighbors and all of our...
I love shit. Oh, this guy's full of shit. Oh, I'm staying here.
Thank you,
President.
Breathe in.
Record investments in education and will fight for school choice for all of our members.
Thank you, Vice President.
I'd like to respond. I will not sit here and be lectured by the Vice President.
Kamala, you will not be lectured by his fly either. Pretty good, huh? I put the fly on his head for 2 minutes during the debate. 58 million people saw the debate. Look, I don't have 58 million Twitter followers. Of course, I'm a registered Democrat. You think I would vote for those Republican putzes? They're God, they're guns. But Kamala, may I say, you looked pretty fly at the debates yourself.
Okay, people, I know that right-wing evangelists make you nervous. I got that. So we're going to move on, particularly because this podcast is supposed to be about Canada, and Indiana is not in Canada yet. But before we do, I'm going to take a little spousal detour, because we can't leave the Mike Pence file without discussing his Karen, or as you may know her, our former second lady, Karen Sue Pence. Or, as Mike calls his wife, Mother. You see, Mother was an art teacher. She's a watercolor artist, she's a couple years older than our newly minted American hero, and she's very religious. In fact, she created the art program at Emmanuel Christian School, a very religious school in Springfield, Virginia, that does not permit gay teachers or gay students. Mother supports the school's very unwoke discriminatory enrollment and employment policy, but the Pences justify religious intolerance like this. It's the same as having a dietary restriction. You wouldn't feed Muslims pork if they came for dinner, would you?
Mmm, it all looks so good. I'll have the Cobb salad with a side of lesbian. Oh, thank you so much.
Don't bring any of your homos to our Christian school. Well, she didn't say it exactly like that, but that's the essence of the argument. Because y'all know how Jesus hates the gays. Mother and Mike love the vice presidential gig. You get a fully staffed house in Washington. Never have to fret too much about policy, since most of the stuff you do is just, you know, ceremonial, feel-good American shit. Of course, there would be the odd Trump batshit flare-up that required some mental and moral gymnastics. Like when candidate Trump said, well, you know when he said, you know that thing he said, let him speak in his own words.
Grab him by the pussy.
Oh my God, boys, heavens to Murgatroyd. Mutter had a tough time reckoning that. But hey, wouldn't we all, right? Right? Of course, Mother must have been a little peeved with President Trump when he tried to have her husband lynched on January 6th, but hey, it's all in a day's work for the politically ambitious. Now, one of the reasons we're still talking about Mike, your hero in waiting, on our podcast, is that Mike is stealing our brand. You see, when you read the book about Pence... Oh, right, you don't read the book about Pence. You make me do that crap work. Thanks, fuckers. Appreciate it. Anyway, when you study his Mike-ness, you'll quickly learn that he's never done much other than chase status and look for the upgrade. His legislative achievements have been either very thin or cruelly homophobic. You might remember the Indiana gay couple who ordered a custom cake for their wedding. But Randy and Trish McGrath, the husband and wife team of bakers, didn't think that Jesus condoned gay men eating wedding cake after taking their vows. So they used their God-given American right to refuse to bake. And yep, Mike was on board with the unbakers. Until it started to cost Indiana money because companies were pulling out of the homophobic state. I mean, who's your state? Hey, can I get a pronunciation check from the control room on who's your... What? Excuse me? We don't have a control room? Oh, okay. A Hoosier is a resident of Indiana, and they've been called such since the 1800s. In fact, Pence's code name from the Secret Service is cum-sucking sycophant. I mean, Hoosier. The origins of the word are not agreed upon. Some said it was the name given to the boatmen who brought corn down the Mississippi River from the north because... Hoosier was how it was pronounced by the indigenous peoples. Others say it was originated when they were taking the census and they knocked on doors and asked, who's here? Who's here? But residents loved the word and it came to indicate a kind of Midwestern hospitality and kindness, a niceness, if you will. Even his arch enemies say that Mike is nice. Midwestern, Hoosier nice. But hang on a second. That's our lane. Nice is the Canadian brand. That's what we do. In fact, here's a clip of Canadians being polite, ripped right off of YouTube.
Well, for me too. How do you like that, you fucking Hindu? Are you a Hindu? When did you come to Canada?
I was born in Canada.
Are you born in Canada? When did you learn not to fucking mind your own business, you fucking Hindu?
You're actually parked in
this
spot.
Yeah, and we're trying to turn around. I'm not threatening you. Don't feel threatened. You're taking a picture of me. Have a nice day, sir.
Yep. That's the quiet but ever so polite variety of Canadian racism and rage. Have a nice day, sir. Back in the 1800s, when John Quincy Adams was in charge of HR in America, the actual job description for the vice presidency basically required only three things. Number one, the VP is the president of the Senate, so in the event of a tie vote, it's the VP's job to break the tie. Two, the VP is a heartbeat away from the presidency and is expected to become the president should anything happen to the president. Seven times in history, presidents have croaked in office, giving the VP the big oval upgrade.
My fellow Americans, we hold these truths to be self-evident. America is the greatest country on the...
And third, a vice president is supposed to, where'd this go? Oh, yeah, there's no third thing that a vice president needs to do. Now, John Nance Garner, who served two terms as VP under Franklin Delano Roosevelt, told Lyndon Baines Johnson, when LBJ was considering the offer to become John Kennedy's VP, that the vice presidency is not worth a pail of warm piss. But just like the hobbies of a pensioner, it's one of those executive branch jobs you can kind of make your own. Clinton's VP, Al Gore, focused on technology, government efficiency, and the environment. Bush the First's vice president, Dan Quayle, focused on spelling. And Bush the Second's VP, Dick Cheney, decided to dedicate his time to becoming an unindicted international war criminal. Your current VP, Kamala Harris, went to high school in Montreal, so we consider her one of our own. She's on-brand Canadian. She's nice. But she wasn't so nice to Joey Biden during the debates, was she?
When Vice President Biden was in the United States Senate working with segregationists to oppose busing, which was the vehicle by which we would integrate America's public schools, had I been in the United States Senate at that time, I would have been completely on the other side of the aisle. And let's be clear about this. Had those segregationists their way, I would not be a member of the United States Senate, Cory Booker would not be a member of the United States Senate, and Barack Obama would not have been in the position to nominate him to the title he now holds.
And somehow she managed to get the VP gig. Good for you, Kamala. The question is, what is she doing with this gig? She does keep a very low profile. So low that occasionally Joe gets mixed up as to who she is and has publicly called her President Harris by mistake.
Now, when President Harris and I took...
I couldn't agree more.
Once Joe had to undergo anesthesia because he was having a colonoscopy. Apparently, he was out for 20 minutes, during which time Kamala Harris made history. She was the first woman to run the United States for 20 minutes.
A woman president? What'd she all get done? She fixed the opioid crisis? I don't think so. Did she reduce my taxes? I don't think so. Did she strengthen my Second Amendment rights? I don't think so. She had 20 minutes. What all she get done? Hold my beer.
There's the very dated and misogynistic observation in American civic studies that says every senator shaves in the morning and sees the next president of the United States in the mirror. And then he puts the warm piss in a pail. Oh my God, what you guys are willing to endure to get through this podcast. Ugh. Are we done yet? Thank you. But goddamn, you're an American progressive. You know all this already. Why am I wasting your precious time when you're trying to bust a move to Canada before Trump gets re-elected in 2024? You need to know about our vice. And have I got a story for you. This is about Chrystia Freeland, deputy prime minister. Now, Mike Pence might call his wife mother, but our VP really is a mother. She's a badass mother. You need to know that we don't have a president, so we can't have a vice. We have a prime minister, which we've reviewed in the past, so our badass mother is the deputy prime minister. She's of Ukrainian-Canadian descent. She was born in Alberta. She's a member of parliament for a riding in Toronto. She's the first ever female minister of finance and the deputy prime minister. Two huge portfolios. She's also a working mom of three.
Oh, and what does she do on her spare time?
What spare time? Here's why we call her badass. Our vice used to be a journalist and spent some time in Moscow, where she wrote some investigative pieces on Russia's little Crimean expansionist adventure. She had a hate-on for Putin long before Putin hate-ons were all the rage. Then things go from Vlad to worse when Putin personally sanctions her ass. The sanction instantly gives Freeland the same kind of gangster street cred that a felon gets when he survives a hail of bullets. I'm abridging the timeline here a little bit, but before she was the Minister of Finance, she was actually the Minister of Global Affairs, which is kind of like your Secretary of State without the airplane and the motorcade. Now, appointing a person who is sanctioned in Russia to head up Canada's international relations is the diplomatic equivalent of Trudeau flipping Putin the bird.
Now, Canada doesn't have a say in Beijing's public health measures, and we clearly aren't consulted when the Kremlin makes its war plans. I sure am not.
Chrystia Freeland also wrote a very important book called Plutocrats, The Rise of the Global Super Rich and the Fall of Everyone Else, which the conservative National Post newspaper called the book that 100% of the 99% must read. When Trudeau later announced her appointment as Minister of Finance, my jaw dropped. But more importantly, hordes of men on Bay Street soiled themselves. Ugh, disgusting. Oh, I almost forgot to tell you, Bay Street is like our Wall Street, but without the money. Yep, so Freeland gets the big chair at finance, and Trudeau out-NDPs the NDP. Oh yeah, the NDP's our Democratic Socialist Party. Now, I've never met Freeland, she's not a friend, but if you ask me who I want running the macroeconomics department of Canada, why, it's the scribe who wrote Plutocrats, The Rise of the New Global Super Rich and the Fall of Everyone Else. She was also the lead negotiator for Canada in the free trade talks with individual number one, or as we call him here on the show, MODIS, Moron of the United States, your thrice bankrupted author of The Art of the Steal. So yes, I'm a fanboy. In fact, Freeland will one day be Prime Minister of Canada, and do not forget, you heard it here first. If you think the vice presidency is not worth a pail of warm piss, let me assure you the deputy prime ministership of Canada doesn't even get you the pail. There's no house, there's no domestic staff, there's no Air Force Two, there's no motorcade. We always hope that this podcast informs, entertains, and hopefully gives you some fresh ideals to live by. So this week, we're going to circle back to our freshly minted American hero, Mike Pence, and leave you with what is now known as the Mike Pence Rule. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that Mike needed to have a working dinner with his Canadian counterpart, Canada's Deputy Prime Minister, who happens to be a woman. Nope, not going to happen, because Christian evangelical teachings dictate, "Thou shalt not dine alone with a woman who is not your wife." God bless Mike Pence.
Whoa, 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 hold on a second. I'll be doing the God blessings around here, you putz.